not wittingly.
This is the news according to me. I have a live studio audience here this morning. I taught my dogs how to clap. Sound like a large audience. Not wittingly, Senator. Yeah. Not wittingly. Isn't that interesting? So, good morning to you. This is the, I believe this is the 59th episode. Welcome to the 59th episode of The News According to Me. This is a big day. A big day for us because it's almost 60. So it's just past my birthday. Stand by. I have a technical issue. The chocolate, hot chocolate factor was a little bit low. I just set that up. So we have a day with all kinds of things going on, and I don't remember what any of them are. Had some interesting thoughts. There's my dog to come say hi, good morning to me as well. So this is Wednesday, by the way, Wednesday the 27th of January, 2021. For those of you who are keeping track, for those of you who aren't, just go back to bed. The interesting stuff happening in the world. If you go out in the world, you'll find out what they are, so you really don't need to listen to this show. There's some stuff happening that I think is worth talking about. One is this, of course, there's the whole impeachment thing. There's always that, and that's happening. I don't know if I talked about this yesterday morning or yesterday evening or not, but there's a federal judge that actually threw out, because Biden, I think I did talk about this, Biden was trying to get this deportation freeze thing happening. So people that were in the process of being deported would be, I guess they were going to freeze those people. I don't know if it's some kind of cryogenic experiment or some kind. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think actually, I've just been informed by my dog that it was not, that's not what it was. They weren't freezing people. However, I am up here in northern Indiana where it is a little bit cold today. In fact, I believe the temperature is in the teens this morning. And I'm not talking Celsius, Fahrenheit. It's probably, I don't know, negative 30, I think, Celsius. Whatever that is, however you calculate that thing. I can't do it in negative numbers. I can only do it in positive numbers. I know you double it and add 30. That's all I know. When you get over zero, you can double it and add 30, and it's pretty close. It's not exact, but it's been the warmer it gets, the warmer it gets, because the hotter it is. I guess that's the way that works. The warmer it gets, the hotter it is. I'm just full of them this morning here. So this early morning thing isn't going to work so well because my brain hasn't really developed yet. After laying down all night long, I think most of the gray matter has slushed to one side. It seems to cause a little problem with the synapses and the boutons in there. Those of you who speak French will know what boutons are. But there really are boutons in your brain. I don't know if you realize that or not, but they're up there. Well, I should take that back. Some people have boutons in their brain. Everybody else is Republicans. Everybody else is Democrats. I got that backwards because my boutons are all messed up this morning. that's proof. Exhibit A. So the impeachment saga continues. It just keeps on going. And the amazing thing, I guess there's a growing number, and I knew this would happen. It's I talked about it the other day on the show. As the emotions start to die down, in theory, at least, most Republicans will probably start to realize that this impeachment is a bad idea. This is just nothing but a vindictive vendetta, which I guess that's what that is, a vindictive vendetta. It's kind of a double thing. And my wife is saying goodbye to me now. She just blew me a kiss as she whisks off to work to make real money, unlike this job. So we're it's just becoming, they're realizing that it's just becoming a vindictive thing that's just wasting people's time. It's not constitutional. It's threatening really the fiber of the constitutional process, because this is going to set a precedent for future presidents. And it's whenever anybody leaves office, why can't we do it to a senator or a congressman? Why can't we do that? The local mayor, they leave office. One of the interesting comments that I just wanted to bring up right away, that I was listening to H.A. Goodman this morning, and he had a very good observation. He's a YouTuber. He's also on a couple other channels. He's on BitChute and a couple other things. He had a real interesting observation. Because President Trump was out in the mall area, I guess is where he was, and he said that that jurisdiction in that area is actually under the mayor. It's actually under D.C. See, D.C. is not a state. Washington, D.C. is not a state. It is not a part of any state. It's kind of considered part of Virginia, but it's not. It has its own representative. It has its own government there. And there are laws actually in D.C. that are not applicable. Some of the laws that Congress passes actually are not even applicable in most states. But D.C. falls under the rule of basically all the laws that federal government passes. It's basically federal. Almost, it's practically like it's federal land almost, in a sense. It's not really, but so the mayor and certainly the attorney general of D.C. or whatever they call them there, whatever it is that they have there, their head honcho in charge of the legal structure there. Could file charges against Trump if he actually did incite an insurrection or incite a mob, inciting whatever it is, a riot or whatever they call it. The legal code is for that. Penal code. They could arrest him for that. They could charge him for that. Bring charges against him. They are not doing that because there's nothing to charge him on. Now, as I go down this road, I'm going to go someplace I wasn't planning on. I'm going to adjust my chair because the hot chocolate does not go down as well if I'm sitting too low in my chair. I can't because I, yeah, anyway. So I have heard two different reports now from people individually. This is direct conversation. And another one that is third party, but it's someone who I know very well, and someone they know very well. And they were there at the mall. They were there the day of December 6th. January 6th. My Bhutans. It's the Bhutans. More hot chocolate over here. I don't know who I'm talking to because my wife's gone. She doesn't make me hot chocolate anyway. Typically, I have to make my own because I'm a big boy. I put on my big boy pants and I make my own hot chocolate. So we have this issue at the mall, and here's what I'm hearing. And all three accounts are exactly the same. And it's very disturbing. Two white vans. Now, I've seen this I've seen some video of some vans. I've seen some police cars. I've seen some different things. I've heard people talk about this online. I don't trust much of anything on YouTube videos unless, I trust what I see on a YouTube video. I can usually recognize when something is an organic video of something. There are people who try to make things look like I just happened to be recording this at the right time, and this incident happened. Oh, who would have known? Why was I recording this car just sitting there in a parking lot, and then all of a sudden it blew up? Why was I recording that? I don't know, because you know people like to record cars in a parking lot. I guess I don't know. Or they, you know, the camera is perfectly still. It's like on a stabilizer, and they're moving it around, and they have different angles of, you know, different camera angles. The audio is perfect. Yeah, you have to start kind of questioning some of those kinds. If it looks too produced, or if it looks like it was obviously not, like they're trying to make it look like it wasn't produced, like they're really like jerking around the camera, the phone, the camera, whatever they're, you know, recording with, and they're like shuffling it around, and you don't quite catch what's going on, and it's and then it's almost too obvious too. It you can kind of tell when something's organically done and when it was actually just a video that was just being taken, or it just happened to be, you know. I suppose there's people out there that can fake that stuff pretty well, but like these stupid videos on Facebook where they have. They make you watch for like 10 minutes before the actual, make sure you watch till the end. And it's, you know, it's like 20 minute long video with three advertisements, which is the whole key. Or they'll have some kind of outlandish, you know, caption on the video to make you think that, oh, watch what happens when she does this. And then you watch the whole thing. And then at the end, it's like, oh, look, she put the straw in the sink. Wow. And I just sat through 10 minutes of that. Well, you can fool me maybe 20 or 30 times with those things, but I'm starting to catch on now. So we had this thing where these videos that I've seen on YouTube of this stuff, but now I've got firsthand reports from some people. Actually, secondhand, I guess. Is it third hand? Second hand? Someone told me that someone else told me that that their neighbor said something. And they saw a video, so I believe it. If I see the video, I don't believe it. But if somebody else that I don't know sees the video and tells me about it, then I believe it. So I guess these two vans pull up, escorted in. This was on the 6th of January. Now, this was already going on as the people were kind of marching down to the I just got a text that says, I guess my wife just heard on the radio that they said that this has been the deadliest month for COVID. So far, this has been the deadliest month. January has been the deadliest month for COVID. And Biden is, of course, blaming Trump, of course. It's all Trump's fault. So yeah, that's a great report. So, so they got these vans pull up, and they're being escorted in through the crowd. Now, this is before the crowd really showed up. This is the crowd that was listening to Trump speak, is not the group that was there at the White House at the time. Now, the majority of the protest was going on at the front of the building. Around the side of the building, where this window is, where they busted in, is the area where most of the media was. Even though the speakers and everybody that was going to be ready to set up to actually do the protest, because they have people that were going to speak there, they had PAs, they had all the stuff set up there for the protest. This is disturbing, because what I've heard has been corroborated by a lot of people on YouTube saying the same thing. And it was hard to believe, because in the heat of the moment, you don't know what people are seeing. Sometimes they don't understand what they're seeing. But this actually became pretty obvious, I think. It's in terms of, it's all starting to make sense now. So the media, I guess, was all gathered around, most of the media was gathered around one side of the building where this break-in occurred. Why would they be over there? I guess this is the question a lot of people are asking now at this point. There was nobody around the back side of the Capitol building. There was a group that kind of went around the back because they wanted to surround the whole place. They wanted to kind of, because there were just so many people, they wanted to get, you know, be able to be at least closer to the building, but there was nothing going on in the around the back. And so there were people back there, but there was nothing. There was no media. There was nothing. There was nobody speaking. It was just kind of people. I guess there was, I'm not sure what all was going on back there. Just a way for people to get closer to the Capitol building. And around this one side where the break-in occurred is where these cops pulled up and two van loads got out. Two white van, big, you know, they're passenger vans. They're the 15 passenger, the large size panel vans pull up. And these guys pile out and they're saying it was Antifa. These guys were Antifa. I don't know how they knew they were Antifa other than, I tell you, I've watched enough video of how Antifa works, the way they run around the crowd, the way they snake through the crowd. They'll snake through a group of protesters. They did this with BLM. Now, BLM would be marching down through the street with their signs and in relatively peaceful order. And then among that group, you had this Antifa group, which is anti-fascist. And the actions that they're doing are actually the definition of fascism. But they were snaking their way through and doing things like dumping over trash cans, lighting them on fire, busting windows, you know, throwing trash cans through windows, busting into stores, which of course leads to looting. They know that by busting in, they open up opportunity for people who, you know, they get the crowd kind of riled up and things start to happen from there. So they're instigators, and most of them are anarchists. So they don't want any government at all. They're not Republican or Democrat. The Democrats tended to use them over the last few years because of the ability to make Trump look bad. Oh, look, there's riots breaking out in the streets. And I want to get back to that again a little bit, because one of the things that I saw a comment on Facebook, and purposefully ignored somebody on Facebook. I usually don't do anything on there. I've never defriended somebody, but this guy I actually chose to ignore. So the crazy thing is, so they pull up on the side. And most of the news media happened to be there. Now, it's been well documented that the news media gets tipped off by the FBI quite a bit and by some law enforcement. This whole thing looks more and more like a setup to me. Now, I'm not saying there weren't Trump supporters there that were doing things that shouldn't have been doing. Both in all these reports, the police cars pull up, the vans, the police cars escort these vans in. They pile out of the vans, and the Capitol Police open up the gates for them to come through. And of course, everybody starts to spill in behind them. It's just the nature of a crowd when you have a packed out crowd like that. They knew that. They know how crowds act. They're crowd control people. They know better than anybody how this is going to work. So, sure enough, people break in. Now, there's also some speculation, some strange speculation about this Ashley Babbitt. There's some conspiracy theory ideas out there about this, too. There's some issues with this. As far as I know, she has passed away. She's a real person. I saw the video of her being shot. There's two different angles of it, and both of them are very disturbing. I don't recommend anybody watch them. It was heartbreaking, to say the least. The one video is people were saying, yeah, the cops were giving them the thumbs up to go ahead and shoot her. They pushed her to the front of the door. That's not what happened. That's not what I saw in the video. And that's all. They're making speculations out of a lot of that stuff. But The video that I saw was the crowd was trying to work with the police that were there. Nobody was hurting the police at that point. But they were yelling at the police to try to get them to help get her out of there. And the police were saying they couldn't do anything because the crowd was too big. So one guy took it into his own hands. He was one of the protesters. To just yell at everybody, tell them to get back and move out of the way. We got to get an ambulance. Got to get her to an ambulance. The crowd moved back. They got her out. No help from the police at all. And there were plenty of them there on the same side of the door that she was on. Which is, the whole thing was strange. That whole shooting was strange. One shot. This guy comes from around the corner, shoots, goes back behind the corner. And I don't know who he was. I don't know what the investigation is on this whole thing. I think that needs to be publicized more. That in and of itself needs to be publicized more than anything else. But the Congress, of course, is all incensed about what happened with our deadly attack on the nation's capital, on our temple of democracy. But they don't want to look into the one person who was killed directly from the protest that was killed by a Capitol Police officer, as far as we know. So that's my little talk about that. And of course now we're not hearing anything about the investigations. We're not hearing anything about they're supposedly looking into charges of excessive force on that police officer who shot Ashley. The officer who died after the riots, who supposedly had a head injury from the riots and went back to the precinct and then collapsed. We haven't heard anything on the autopsy there or anything else about the actual cause of death or his pre-existing conditions that he had as well. And I don't know what all that's about. I've heard all kinds of rumors there. But now if he's actually an active police officer with pre-existing conditions, I don't know that he'd be working the crowd in a riot event. So there's a lot of questions there about who's saying what's going on. So I'm just hearing a lot of back and forth there. So this just brings up a lot of questions in my mind. I'm not saying any of these things are factual in that people who saw something didn't see what they really saw. Because that does happen. But when you get this many people saying one thing, and there is video evidence to support what they're saying, kind of starting to make you wonder what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, trying to get my phone to charge here. It's not doing its thing. It's just not going to work. There it goes. So I want to keep you up to date on what's happening here with my life and my phone. So there's that. Now there's also this other issue. I played this little clip a little bit ago with Clapper, it's Clapper. I think it's Clapper. Is it Clapper? I think it's Clapper. We'll go with Clapper. I want to play this whole exchange because it's really telling in terms of what happened here on this. I refer to this quite a bit, and this is why I want to play it, because I think it's important for you guys to actually hear the whole exchange. Not wittingly, Senator. So let's see what this is all about.
NSA director was at a
conference. I'll rewind it.
Last summer, the NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans. He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
All right.
He just goes, all right. Yeah. They could, perhaps. There are cases where they could, perhaps, collect information. Okay, he said this to Congress. This is something where if I go to Congress and I say it, and if I tell a lie, they will put me away for a long time. So he says this, and then about a month or two or three or who knows how long, it doesn't really matter how long, after he makes this statement, it comes out that they absolutely are collecting every bit of data that gets transferred, including this little podcast, via phone, internet, email, whatever it is. It all gets collected. It all gets collected. There are supercomputers and super amounts of mega storage that are happening. I think it's probably out in Yuma. It's kept in the middle of some mountain someplace. But this stuff is all being collected 24/7. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for those of you who don't know what that means. So that's what's happening. Now, their argument is, well, we don't look at the material. We can't use the material in a court of law. We have to get a warrant to go into that data to find anything, to actually use that data. Okay. His question was, do you collect data on U.S. citizens? No, sir. Nothing at all. Not wittingly. Excuse me. How convenient that I don't mean to keep doing something that's illegal, but it keeps being done. So, and this is where the hokey part of this thing is. In order for them to go into that data, it's I can't remember what they call it. There's a name for this data pool pile thing that they've got. There's a name for it, and it's something like the FISA court. Okay, the secret, super secret probation basement FISA court that has proven to be it's so strict. Oh, you can't just get a FISA warrant you have to go through all this paperwork, according to Rod Rosenstein. You have to go through all this. Oh, it's a very difficult thing to get. And he's shaking his finger at the senators. Oh, it's a very difficult thing to get. And you can't get to, it's very precise and you have to get all this stuff done. And now we're finding out that there were all kinds of forgeries on the paperwork. I don't know what they're called, 105s or whatever they call them. I don't know what they call them. All kinds of corrections. And I say with quotes, air quotes there, done. Changing answers from yes to no. That's a pretty big change. So, was this person a CIA operative at any time or an informant? Yes. Oh, well, let's change that to a no. And then we'll take it to the FISA court so it doesn't look like it's, anything spectacular. That way there's no interference there. Let's change this from a yes to just nothing, but let's just not fill in that blank. Let's change the name on this one. That way it'll go through. Five times. Okay, this FISA, this dossier this warrant for the dossier thing. That was signed off on like at least three times. And Rod Rosenstein was one of the people who signed off on the FISA warrant. I think James Comey signed off on another one. Another time. Same warrant. Another time. Because they had to keep renewing this warrant thing as they were surveilling the presidential candidate to try to get some dirt on the guy. Try to get an insurance policy. You know, if these guys in the FBI were so bent, but of course that didn't influence their investigation. I'm sure it didn't influence their investigation. They were able to put aside their feelings that they had and all the documented information where they were saying, you know, 100% this guy loses. But if he does win, we have an insurance policy. However, when it comes to investigating him, we're going to be Boy Scouts. Oh, yeah, we can separate our personal feelings from our professionalism and our investigation. And, of course, the higher-ups are going to cover for me anyway. So Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe, James Comey, all these guys, in my opinion, are slimy crooks. They know exactly what they're doing. They have this self-righteous end justifies the means mentality that they are somehow protecting democracy, protecting us against the bad man, the orange man bad, or whatever it is. They like to be the ones who are really controlling the country. That's what they're doing. And this thing is so entrenched in our republic right now that there's no way to get rid of it. And I think that's what Donald Trump, from the office of the former president, I think that's what he's figured out. As he got into it, the more he got into it, the more he realized he couldn't trust these people. And it's not so much the field officers. I've heard that before. And I'm sure there's some field officers out there that are just as bad. They have aspirations to be at the top, which and probably the same kind of motivations to be at the top. But by and large, it's just like the police officers. They're getting the bad end of the rap on this whole thing. And every day they go out there, they put their lives on the line. They know that they're, you know, you never know. They're putting themselves in the danger zone where most people don't want to live. And when stuff goes wrong, we call 911. When stuff goes wrong for them, they're the ones that are there. So, and now what's amazing to me is that they're trying to use the police to crack down on the very people who support them. The people who want to dismantle them are the people who are in charge now. So, just like the other day, this lady in Texas, I guess it was a guy. There's a report that this guy was not wearing a mask. He was outside. Oh, no, it wasn't in Texas. Where was it? It was, because Texas wouldn't be this way. It was in, might have been California, someplace out there out west. Crazy people. And an officer was going, I guess, threatened to or ended up tasing someone. I can't find the actual report whether or not the taser was actually used. My understanding was he at least threatened to tase the guy for not wearing a mask. He was outside. I wonder if anybody thought to maybe tase Governor Newsom for not wearing a mask. And at a dinner party with more than six people. And on and on and on. So, rules for thee and not for me. That's what we see all the time. And that's Joe Biden, while he's signing an executive order that everyone has to wear a mask on federal property, and he's not wearing a mask. And then 2 days ago, Joe Biden, in the middle of a speech talking about masks, as he's on government property, giving a press conference, and they're asking him about ice cream and some wonderful things, lollipops. What kind of, what do you have? Do you ever eat lollipops? And in the middle of his speech, he puts his mask on because I think he realized he didn't have his mask on. Weirdest thing. And I'm noticing there's been a lot more issues with his speeches lately in terms of him being able to stay on point and like make coherent statements. He makes these little four-word statements, and it's always very dramatic. He's got this sense of drama that he puts into his speeches all the time, and it's always the same way. This is going to save lives. It slows down the speech so that he has time to do this simple little thing. And he'll today, we're going to have a new plan. It takes forever for him to get through two or three sentences. It's just kind of crazy. My dogs are whining, and I don't know why. I'm not sure what's going on with that. So, I say all that to say this. I need another sip of hot chocolate. Ah, that's good stuff. So, yeah, like I said, it's a crazy world. We'll see what happens today. Now, I think possibly today there's going to be a vote on the impeachment in terms of whether or not it's constitutional or not. And last I heard, there was about 45 senators, Republican senators, who are disagreeing with the impeachment, or they're basically agreeing that it's not constitutional. They're opposed to the impeachment process right now. And my understanding is they're trying to get rid of the filibuster. I did talk about this filibuster thing, and I'll talk about it more this evening. Hopefully, Rabbi Rick will be with me this evening. I'm not sure if he will or not, but if he is, we're going to talk more about the filibuster and get his take on it. Now, the filibuster, I have done some looking into this. There are people who say it's a good thing, people who say it's not. Now, during Trump's administration, Trump actually wanted the filibuster gone. There are basically three different times that a filibuster can be enacted. One of them was in issues of legislation. That one's still in place. The legislative filibuster is still in place. Any issues of budget that come from the House cannot be filibustered. That's my understanding. There are issues of procedural things. There were three things that the filibuster could be used for. A filibuster is not in the Constitution, so it's just a rules thing, rules can be changed. Senate rules can be changed as long as they don't go against the constitutional process. The filibuster gives the minority party quite a bit of power. If they have people who are willing to and have the moral fortitude to do so, they can stand, and I think Rand Paul stood for like 10 hours and filibustered. This is ironic, isn't it? Strom Thurmond, Democrat, good friend of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. Strom Thurmond was the guy who has the record for the longest filibuster. It's like 24 hours and 18 minutes or 19 minutes or something like that. And he was able to prolong the filibustered long enough that they were unable to take a vote. It ended up going through anyway. Democrat Strom Thurmond was opposed to the Civil Rights Act. A Democrat, Strom Thurmond, was opposed to the Civil Rights Act and filibustered that act, that legislation, for 24 hours and 18 minutes. Democrat Strom Thurmond. There you go. But somewhere after that, the parties flipped. All of a sudden, they flipped. Now the Democrats are not racist anymore. Okay, whatever. I don't think so. They can't put a date on it. Like, they can't show it in any kind of procedural paperwork where the Democrats made that change. There's nothing documented where they changed their platform. But that's what they're saying now. And the Republicans took over the radical right, the alt-right, what they call somehow the white supremacists became the alt-right, or the radical right, extremists. And there's been multiple times when these guys have been, like, the leaders of the party, of these groups, have been interviewed, which I have to say there's, like, very few of them in comparison to you'd think, listening to the media, that they're crawling around everywhere. And that the entire nation is racist. And yet when you find these white supremacy groups, their numbers total in, you know, not even the tens of thousands, it's like a couple thousand that are actually members of the groups. I'm not saying there's people that aren't out there that are quasi self-proclaimed, or they don't realize that they're white supremacists, or that they don't think it's a problem to be the way they are. But that's, you know, and guess what? In this country, guess what? You have a right to be one. We have to take the good with the bad here, folks. You can't start taking away someone's rights just because you disagree with their creed. That's just that's the way our country works. Now, you have the right to say whatever you want to in terms of your opinion, or to try to educate them, to try to help them, to say that they're wrong. You have the right to say that they're wrong. And what you don't have the right is to take away their rights without due process. And that's what we're seeing today. Now, I have the right to not do business with them. And I have the right to do business with them. But unfortunately, the social feedback from that can be, you know, that's your choice. I mean, you made that decision, and especially nowadays with social, court of public opinion being what it is, it's almost instantaneous now. So those are issues. I'm not even sure where I was going with all that, but hey, you came along with me. Here we are going off the cliff. Whee! Hot chocolate. It's not hot anymore. It's more like just chocolate milk now. So that's really all I have to say for this morning. So hopefully you've been entertained and you've been informed, and now you're a little bit disturbed and possibly depressed. But I've got good news. God is still in charge, and prayer still changes things. Mostly, prayer changes our hearts and helps us to see things a little differently. So as you go throughout your day, try to be a blessing to everybody around you. And try to see things through the eyes of eternity, the eyes of eternity, yeah, the eternal value in things. And try to see beyond yourself. You know, one of the biggest problems people have is their own selfishness. That's probably the biggest issue that we as human beings have. Selfishness, self-centeredness, and that's kind of the biggest problem we got. So deal with that today, okay? Just deal with it. Try to at least recognize it when you're going there. So, other than that, you know, I got nothing. So, let's hope that Rabbi Rick makes it to the show tonight. That way it's more exciting. It's at least a little more funny, I think. The show is a little bit more laughable sometimes, because we can laugh at each other. Anyway, God bless everybody. Have a good day, and hope you've got a good start to your day. Hope you have a good day today. Hope everything's good. Good, good, good. That's just a whole bunch of goodness. Good, good, goodness. That's all it is. I gotta get to work. People who actually pay for stuff. People who pay for this talent. I'll make sure you share, subscribe. If 574-742-6748. You can text in or call in. I'll read your text. I'll read your call or something. I don't know. Have a great day, everybody.